Good morning. Continuing on this morning in our study of spiritual gifts, and we're unwrapping three more gifts today. Now, from my message earlier in May, I told a few people that I'd have copies of that, and I keep forgetting. So I remembered this morning. So if you were interested in hospitality and helps and leadership, I have a little papers here for you out on the little table out there by where the minister stands. And this morning also for the gifts that we're covering, there are notes again for you to take a hold of if you'd like from this morning's presentation. And I feel like it's a presentation, but I enjoy presenting this to you and learning how God has made each of us. And I think it's very true. Let me make sure this thing gets started. How God has made us, and see, it's upside down. Yeah. So those of you that would help you stay awake by reading everything upside down, raise your hand. Would that keep you awake? A few hands I saw. Okay. How many people would it put you to sleep if you had to read everything? Yes, more hands. Okay. See, God has made us very. Very differently, and he likes diversity. He really does. And I'm going to move my little mouse up here. Try that. Okay, now I can click to the next one. And so we're unwrapping our spiritual gifts, and I found this picture, and that is the coolest hat. Have you ever seen a hat like that? I wanted one of those when I was a little boy so badly, and I just knew that if I held on, I would take off. And I knew, my father explained it to me over and over again that no, you know, that just, it wouldn't have enough power behind it to, but in my mind, I knew that if I had that hat, that I could just hang on and go. It just, you could just tell by looking at it. And I think a little bit, it reminds me of our spiritual gifts. We get this gift, and it's really neat, but without God's power behind it, it just doesn't go. It really doesn't. And so let's look again, and I'm going to use, oftentimes I have everything printed on the screen, but this morning I'm going to read it right out of the Word. 1 Corinthians, you can turn there, 1 Corinthians 12. First Corinthians 12, starting in verse is 4 through 7. And you'll notice through the weeks that we highlight again Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. We'll read a little bit here. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7. There are diversities of the gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And again, you have the Spirit. As you have committed your life to Christ and He has entered into your life, the Spirit that comes into you is the Holy Spirit. But the way that it is shown to others, the way that it is shown to the person beside you, is different in each of us. And so again this morning, as we look at these three gifts, if you can mentally make notes of who do you recall that you see these character traits or these gifts. Now, again, it doesn't have to be their primary gift, but if you see character traits of these gifts in others, encourage them in that. Shake their hand and say, hey, I see this gift in you. And encourage each other. So let's jump to verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. In the middle of verse 24, jump into verse 24. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are all the body of Christ, and members individually. And God has gifted us all very different. Some of you, when you see that hat, hold on to that hat so the hat doesn't go away. And some of you, when you see that hat, you hold on to the hat so you can go with it. That's just how God has made us all differently. One of the things that we can learn about God in our continual efforts to learn are some of the character traits of God. As we study the gifts and how He has gifted us, you know a little bit about people and the gifts that they give you. You ever think about that? When people give you gifts, it comes from them. You learn a little bit about them. And so we learn some character traits of God as we study the gifts that He gives us. One is that God values order and unity. God trusts us and is trustworthy. God trusts us with some phenomenal gifts, with hospitality and leadership. And this morning we'll touch on giving and mercy. He gives us some tremendous gifts. He trusts us with them. And God desires a relationship with us. You know, I really think that God could do this whole thing on His own. You know, if God wanted to come down and shake the earth, He could. But He entrusts us to reach out to others. God chooses to use us, so He desires a relationship with us. And we learn about God as we study the gifts. Now, this Ephesians 3:8, we found this in our family devotions this week. And you can turn to it, Ephesians 3. Again, it's talking about how God uses us. And this was something new for me to grasp this week. Ephesians 3, verses 8. And Paul is talking here. And it says, "To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages had been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church," which is again me and you, "to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through Him, through faith in Him." It says in verse 10, that is God's intent, "to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church." We are the church. The wisdom of God, it is our job to make known God's wisdom by us. To who? To the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. We are witnesses to the spirits. We really are. We are witnesses to things that we don't see. Amazing. And that is God's plan for us, especially as He gives us these traits. Because some of these traits are really uncharacteristic of being sinful human beings, some of these characteristics. They are actual character traits of God Himself, which we'll talk about a little bit this morning. So we begin with the first gift this morning. It's the gift of giving. The gift of giving is the distinctive ability to cheerfully and generously contribute personal resources to God's work. The gift of giving. Not everybody has that. Some folks do. Calvin Coolidge said, "No person was ever honored for what he received. Honor has been the reward for what he gave." And it's highlighted in Romans 12:8, "He who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." The gift of giving. The gift of giving is highlighted in Mark chapter 12, and you can turn to there this morning. Like I said, many times I put everything up on the PowerPoint. This morning I'm keeping you awake. Keep your fingers moving. Mark 12. Starting in verse 41. "Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. But one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which makes a quadrans, which my Bible footnotes is about a Roman coin. And so he called his disciples to himself, and he said, "Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury, for they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." Wow. That humbles me to think that that is an example of the gift of giving. It's humbling to read that. The people with the gift of giving do not just have a desire to give. They actually give. They give. It's not like, I'd like to give. No, they do it. It is in them and it comes out of them. I kind of think that I thought I had some inklings of the gift of giving, but I don't know. Reading this, I feel like I'm a generous person at times, but I like to see both sides. I like to make my decision and weigh it out. And as I understand, the people with the gift of giving, they give. It comes from them and it comes out of them. Again, if you say, if I had it, I would give it, well, then you don't have the gift of giving. If you have to say, if I had it, then I would give it, well, you don't have the gift of giving. You see, people with a gift of giving, if they see a need and they don't have it, they go get what they don't have just to give it away. That's how they're wired. That's how God made them. And I can imagine that would be frustrating to be married to someone who's a giver and not a giver. Wow. That could be, there's some excellent discussion for marriage folks in these lessons of giving and also mercy. Oh. The purpose of the gift of giving: to discover and provide for the physical needs of the body of Christ in such a way that God is glorified and not the giver. See, if you have the gift of giving, it's not about you. You don't need to make yourself known. It's not about who you are. It's because God satisfies you for giving. It comes from inside of you. The gift of giving is often done behind the scenes. There's some cautions. You would think, wow, what a great gift. I mean, the gift of giving, that's great. And yet, there are some cautions. Sometimes, giving with the wrong motives. Wow. Our motives are tough. God weighs the heart. God weighs what we do and why we do it. Our motives are difficult. And giving with the wrong motives can be wrong. Another caution is controlling others by your gifts. Another caution with the gift of giving is pride. So now we work through the hard stuff. We'll go to the good stuff. The evidence that you have the gift of giving. This is the evidences. You tend to give quietly and even secretly. Because again, the reward that you receive is from God, because that's how He's made you. You receive, well, it's one of the next points. You take the initiative to find needs and contribute it to them. You experience deep joy. This is the one I was thinking of. You experience deep joy and satisfaction through giving. This is something that you feel internally rewarded. But going back to the last point, you take the initiative to find needs and contribute to them. The people with the gift of giving don't idly sit by waiting for something to give to. They're out there. They're seeking it. They're looking for it. Their receptors are up. They're looking for needs. This is who they are. That's how they're wired. They seek out. They find people that have needs. This is those that have the gift of giving. God has made you in that way. And again, you experience deep joy and satisfaction. And again, understanding how God has gifted you as an individual is, again, a great topic to discuss in your small group and in your married life and even as your single friends. How has God wired you? What are my tendencies? Do I have this gift? And how does it work with other gifts? Because there are many, many gifts which we see, and this is just one of them. But it can be a point of contention when one is a huge giver and the other is not. It's a great thing to realize and look and say, hey, this is how God made me and this is how I'm wired. And yet there's so much more to God than just this one gift of the Spirit. Now, sorry, I don't have time to get into all the marriage counseling, but it's fun to touch on this morning. Another evidence that you have the gift of giving, you are resourceful or have the ability to make money. Interesting. Evidences of the gift of giving. You are more concerned with meeting the need than how much money you actually give. Those of you without the gift of giving, if you hear of a need, first thing that comes to your head is, okay, how much? Those of you with the gift of giving, when you hear a need, you're like, wow, how big's the need? You know? And again, that's the way God has wired you. That's the way you're made. You are more concerned with meeting the need. And so, moving on to the next gift, the gift of mercy. The gift of mercy. The spiritual gift of mercy is the distinctive ability to feel sincere empathy and compassion in a way that results in practical relief from people's hurts, pain, and suffering. I had to think of several people that are involved in counseling ministries here in and out of this place and on other organizations that deal with counseling. I had to think of their ability to practice the gift of mercy. I think it's key there that says to feel sincere empathy. To have the gift of mercy invokes inner feelings. You feel differently when you have the gift of mercy. It affects your feelings and your emotions. And we'll get into that here in a minute. The gift of mercy. Let's look up Luke 10. Luke 10, 29 to 37, the story of the Good Samaritan. Highlighting again the gift of mercy. I'm going to start in verse 25 because it's really the whole story begins in verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, which is Jesus. A lawyer stood up and tested Jesus. And he said, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? You see, Jesus questioned the man right back. And so the man answered in verse 27, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and all your strength, with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. But he, this lawyer man, wanting to justify himself to Jesus, said, Who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered and said to him, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by the other side. It appears to me, if we take a quick break here, that there was a priest came down the road and he saw him and he just kind of went to the other side of the road and kept going. But this Levite guy, it says when he arrived at the place, it makes me think that he stopped. And it says, comma, came and looked. He went over and he looked at the guy. And then he turned and passed and went on the other side. And in verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. And so he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. And so Jesus says to the lawyer, so which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. What a definition of mercy. Wow. Mercy. The purpose of the gift of mercy is to bring comfort, relief, and hope to those who are hurting in order to restore them to a place of peace and productivity. That's a great, great full definition of mercy, to bring comfort and relief and hope to people who are hurting in order to restore them to a place of peace and productivity. When people have the gift of mercy, it's not just that they want to comfort people. You know, it's not just that they want to send them a card. I mean, they do, but it's more than that. The gift of mercy encompasses more than that. They want to restore them. They want to build them back up. The gift of mercy. Evidence that you may have the gift of mercy, you are drawn to the hurts of others. You are easily and fully in touch with your emotions. The sufferings of others disturbs your soul. Evidence that you have the gift of mercy. People's feelings are more important to you than what they actually do. And it's strange for one with a logical mind to read that. It really is. But people with the gift of mercy are really more concerned about how someone feels than about what they actually do. Try to grasp that. Try to understand that. They're more concerned about how people feel about problems and issues than about what they actually do about them. Because those of us that, well, me personally, a little more logic, if somebody does something wrong, well, obviously you did something wrong and so you have consequences. People with the gift of mercy connect with the feelings of that person and why they did something maybe not right. And they want to help them and restore them. They don't connect with the thing that they did wrong. Again, evidence that you have the gift of mercy, you cheerfully inconvenience yourself for the needs of others. With the gift of mercy, it's nothing for you to set aside your whole day if somebody needs a ride to work. Or if somebody else needs something, you're easily put away your own things to provide for them. Cheerfully inconvenience yourself. Cautions. The gift of mercy is very near the heart of God, our Father. You see, God is actually described as a merciful God. And so when He gives His children that gift, as I have thought about it, and I'm stepping away, and these are my own thoughts, and please test them. Please test them against the Word. Stepping away from the John Ryland stuff. God, when He gives this gift of mercy, it is very much a part of who He is. God is a merciful God, and we are so often His undeserving children, and yet He takes us mercifully back time and time and time again as we repent and return to Him. The gift of mercy can be a very heavy gift in this sin-cursed earth. The gift of mercy. God has mercy, and yet his mercy is perfect because he sees the beginning and he sees the end. He sees it all at once. And we who are gifted with the gift of mercy are walking around in very sin-cursed earth, and we don't see the whole picture. We can't see it all. And yet God has given us this gift of mercy, and sometimes it's a burden. And there are five very pertinent cautions that go along with the gift of mercy. Because again, when he gives his holy heavenly traits to us on earth, it can be very difficult for us to handle. Now, most of these cautions that we cover when we talk about the gifts, most of the cautions, I see it as for those who actually have the gift. You know, the cautions for the gift of leadership are for leaders. The cautions for the gift of hospitality is for hospitality. But these cautions that I see for the gift of mercy, I think can be for all of us. And they help us understand a little bit more those who have the gift of mercy. The first caution, a tendency to see life in a slightly negative perspective. And I thought, well, how can that be? How can that be? And yet, it could be that the heart of those who have the gift of mercy are drawn to the hurting so much that that tends to be all they see. Mercy affects your very feelings. The inability to say no. And yet I thought, in my mind, I'm thinking, how does this work? Because mercy is a very character trait of God. I thought, well, God says no often. And then I was challenged, does God really say no? Think about it. Does God really say no, or does he say, not yet? Does God say no, or does he really say not yet? I was challenged by that because I feel that there is times that I feel, you know, God, what's going on? I hear this no. Is it really a no, or is it not yet? Because again, God sees the whole picture. He sees everything. But a caution for those of you with the gift of mercy, the inability to say no. Caution again, thinking you can meet everyone's needs. Because again, that's what you see. You see the needs with the gift of mercy. Actions based on emotions, often without logic. A failure to be firm when necessary. It may be hard for you with the gift of mercy to even spank your children. And yet, it is just the one character trait of God. It's just one. God's also a God of wrath. But to a person with mercy, that just feels, whoa, what happened? Where did that come from? But God is also a God of wrath. Sometimes it is needed to draw a line. But to those with the gift of mercy, drawing a line is like getting a tooth pulled. Again, when it's needed, I recommend those of you with the gift of mercy to find someone that you know and that you love and you trust in other areas and allow them to help you draw that line when needed. Because I know for you, it's almost impossible and actually can be painful. But those of you that have the gift of mercy and how painful that must be to draw a line, try to connect with God the Father in the pain that he feels as each one of us make decisions away from him and then come back to him and away from him and come back to him. And how sad that must make God's heart of mercy feel. So, again, God is pained when his children don't trust and follow him, and the same pain that you feel when you try to help others. So again, the gift of mercy. Now we got to play a little game. Make sure you're awake. Guess the gift. I'm not going to tell you what it is right away. You have to guess what the next gift is. Okay, this gift. Definition. The distinctive ability to discern the mind of Christ and apply biblical truth to a specific situation in order to make right choices and help others move in the right direction. That's the definition. It's in 1 Corinthians 12:8, but don't look it up. The gift of what? It's practical applied knowledge. The purpose of this gift is to apply scriptural truth and God's heart to everyday situations so that decisions can be made in such a way that they please God. Are you thinking somebody that has this characteristic? Apply scriptural truth and God's heart to everyday situations. Evidence that you may have this gift. Making right decisions in difficult situations comes easy for you. People seek you out for counsel about their problems and their possibilities. You have a practical nature when it comes to the application of this. You possess good common sense. Everybody know what the gift is? I think I heard somebody mumble it, the gift of wisdom. And you can find 1 Corinthians 2. And this is the difference between God's wisdom and worldly wisdom. And I think it's written for specifically for those who have wisdom. So, the rest of you, try not to get lost. But this is good stuff. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 13. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with human persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. And now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Amen. And that is for those of you who have the gift of wisdom. You enjoy thinking and pondering. And so, the gift of wisdom. Now that you know what it is, we'll read through the evidences again. Making the right decisions in difficult situations comes easy for you. People seek you out for counsel about their problems and possibilities. You have a practical nature when it comes to the application of wisdom. You possess good common sense. The gift of wisdom. There are three cautions. The gift of wisdom. Believing that you are the source of the wisdom. Sometimes teenagers have that. Not mine, but some do. Believing that you are the source of the wisdom. Use them, wisdom with impure motives. And I footnoted in there, it may be tempting to use the wisdom God gives you to further your own kingdom other than His. And those of you that were given the gift of wisdom, you can go and do and build and make and consume and pile up. It comes easy because God has given you that gift of wisdom. And it's easy for you to compile your own pile and build bigger barns. It comes easy. One of the cautions is using wisdoms with impure motives. Another caution is looking down on those who do not have the spiritual gift of wisdom. Looking down on those who do not have the spiritual gift of wisdom. It brings us to our end of our three gifts. And again, I feel it's key as we understand ourselves and as we begin to understand our neighbors, how God made us. He made us all unique and we look differently, and He has all gifted us unique and in different ways. And again, if you saw yourself or if you saw someone else specifically in one of the gifts this morning, take a minute and shake their hand and bless them and encourage them with the gifts that you see in them. And also this morning, in a description of the gifts of giving, and a description of the gift of mercy, and a description of the gift of wisdom, if you felt this morning that, yes, that's kind of your gift, but I'm not quite there yet. I'm a little incomplete in my gift. I connected this morning that I should pray for you specifically. So I'm going to ask everyone to bow their heads and to close their eyes. And are you here this morning with the gift of giving or mercy or wisdom? If you see that in yourself, and you desire more of God's Spirit to work in your gift, would you please stand and I can see you, and I will pray for you without saying your name. But if you've connected this morning, thank you. Thank you. There's probably 15 people standing. God, let's pray. God, I am thankful for the way that you have made us. I am humbled that you have chosen to give us your traits of giving and of mercy and your traits of wisdom this morning. God, I pray that we would be able to use these for your honor and glory. And those that have stood here this morning, I pray that you would just pour out your Spirit. God, they're asking for more of you, to be able to do your good work through your Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would give them the desires of their heart this morning, God, because it's your heart. We thank you for their ability to stand before you. God, again, we are humbled for the way that you choose to use us for your service and your honor and your glory. God, I thank you for this fellowship, this body of believers, that we come together to honor you and to honor each other. And God, as we have planned an afternoon of activities and fellowship, I pray that you would bless our time together, that we could be an encouragement to one another. I thank you for the food committee, for the way that they are using their gifts, and for all those that have prepared food, and for the youth that are preparing for us as well. We thank you for the way that they are using their gifts to enhance your body, the body of Christ here. God, I pray that you would bless the food this afternoon, that you would use it to strengthen us and to nourish us, that we would be able to go and depart from here with a full stomach and with a full soul from your spiritual food this morning. And we are gracious that you are here, and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. The chorister may come and lead us in two songs.